Good morning. We're so glad that you've joined us on this May the 31st. There's no more days in May. There's not 32 days in it.
I believe after today, that's it for me. If you hadn't gone fishing in May, you won't be going and fishing in May after
Sunday.
That's right. A lot of folks don't pay Sunday no attention. They go on and go fishing anyhow.
That's a shame. I hope they don't. If you're going to go fishing, I hope you don't catch one but a minnow about a quarter inch long. We're glad you've joined us. It's a great day to be alive, great day to serve God, great day to go up to the house of the Lord.
And by the way, if you're on your way fishing right now and you're listening to us on the radio, don't turn the radio off. Just go ahead and listen to the lesson anyway.
Just okay. Set in the car.
I just want to clear that up right quick.
Don't get mad because we can't fish.
Don't get mad. We're with you.
We're just going to change our lesson to what the Lord says about
fishing on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I know some in there because Mama sure did preach it hard to me.
Mama did to me too. So more so that I can't go on Sunday myself. I'd feel so guilty. Oh my goodness.
Too.
Mama drove that point home to this old boy.
Yeah, me too.
Fishing and hunting on Sunday.
Brandon didn't say anything. I bet he fished and hunted. And ain't no telling what all he's done on Sunday.
No.
He probably.
Mama told you that. I've done
a little bit of everything on Sunday.
Yeah.
Back in the
That's
day.
That's before I got saved, though.
Oh, okay.
So getting saved makes a difference. Then.
It does. The Lord makes a big difference when he comes in.
Well, I just put it this way. If your salvation hadn't made a difference, you ain't got salvation.
That's it. You don't know the Jesus that we know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we are glad you joined us. I'll say that about the fourth time. And now then, we're going to tell you that we're going to be studying the last lesson on dealing with messy relationships.
Oh, my goodness.
Messy relationships. We talk about love.
Surely nobody's got a messy relationship.
Yeah, they do. I'm sorry, Mike, to say they do.
Is that the same thing as dysfunctional?
I never could get them. That's too many letters in them words.
He understands dysfunctional.
I understand that. Better. Yeah.
Well, I went one time to dysfunction at the school.
Oh, well, you messed up. You went in a different direction.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
I'll hush.
Dealing with messy relationship. We've talked about love. Sometimes, even our love for God, we don't treat him like we love him and don't show him that we love him. But even with other people, too. Our neighbor, maybe our wife or children. Are you mom and daddy, if you've got mom and daddy living? Sometimes the relationship can get messy. We need to be encouraging to people, not discouraging, but rather always be encouraging, be forgiving. You asked a minute ago, Mike, before we started, about forgiving.
Didn't I, though?
Yeah.
We're just talking about that. Do we forgive just because somebody asks us? Or
do we forgive before they ask us?
Oh, we talked about that one Sunday.
We did, and then we talked about serving. Nobody wants to serve. Everybody wants to be served. We talk about yielding. And during this coronavirus, we've seen people not yielding.
Amen.
And that's what we dealt with last week. They'll grab up that whole case of toilet tissue and leave you with none. That's not nice.
Leave you with a Sierra Roebuck catalog.
But we
Christians. Well, now, let me tell you something. I've got a case. If you need one, you holler.
Yeah, I'll spare you a roll.
Yeah.
No, I want a case. I got a better deal over here. And I put me a little sign on the road that says toilet tissue for sale.
Oh, me.
Ah, Lordy. But anyhow, today we're talking about acceptance. Well, how do we accept? Do we accept somebody if they are not doing the right thing? Do we accept somebody if we feel like they're sinning against God? Do we blame them and condemn them? How do we handle it? Well, if I don't hush, we ain't ever going to get to the lesson, so I am going to hush. And we're going to introduce ourselves. Brother Pinion, tell me who
I'm Brandon Pinion, pastor of Moores Bridge Baptist Church in North Tuscaloosa County, and I'm delighted to be anywhere.
That's good. And I'm Mike Hall, pastor of New Salem Baptist Church in Reform And I am just so proud to be here.
Yeah, me too. And I'll just say I'm Herschel Owen, and I'll say ditto to these other guys.
There you go. Won't say good morning to Tommy this morning. Hello, Tommy. Glad you found us on the radio.
Yeah, and Bobby and Susie and Janie and all of you.
Well, I saw Tommy last week, and he had found us for the first time on radio.
Okay.
So he was looking forward to listening to us.
All right. Now then, we're going to have, I might tell you, we're studying out Romans chapter 14. So if you'll, if you're where you can and you want to follow us, now we don't want you to miss Sunday school or church, or I don't know what you're doing at your church at this time, but we, whatever you're doing, be supportive of your church. But Romans 14 is where the scripture is going to come from. Well, we're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to get started. Brother Pinion, lead us in a word of prayer.
Our Father, we're grateful today for every expression of your love and goodness and mercy and kindness to us. Thank you for your forgiveness.
Yes,
and Lord. Thank you, our Father, for your acceptance
goodness,
of
yes.
us.
Yes, God.
In spite of our sins.
Yes, Lord.
You cleansed us and made us into vessels that can be used in your service.
Yes, God.
And I thank you so much for it. Thank you for these fellows that are going to share with us in this lesson today. And I pray their blessings on your blessings on them and their ministry, whatever it might be and wherever it might be. Glorify yourself now to those that are listening, and especially speak a word from the Holy Spirit of God to the lives and hearts of those that are lost,
yes, God,
never having accepted the Son of God,
yes, God,
as their own personal Savior. May this be the day, may something be said or done that'll bring conviction on them. They'll find a good church, and they'll go and share the fact that God has forgiven, grace has abounded in their lives, and the Lord is real to them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so accept now. How do we deal with people who have a different opinion from yours? How do you deal with folks that's got a different opinion, Brother Pinion? Hey,
well,
opinion, how do you deal with that opinion?
The only thing I can do is just tell them, look, you might not agree with everybody. You might not agree with me.
Right.
And if you don't, if you're saved by grace, you're going to find somewhere that you can accept the way they worship, how they worship, what they worship, and everything about it. You don't have to go to the same church. But if you're saved, you're going to go to church.
Amen.
Somewhere. And I've come in contact with that right recently. And that's exactly what it told us. Listened to them for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
All are growling and belly aching and complaining. And I told them, I said, well, I'm sorry, but I said, I don't have any word for you except this.
No.
If you're saved by grace, same Lord that saved me, you're going to find you a church to attend come Sunday.
That's Amen. Right. That's yeah. right.
And so I cranked my car again and left.
Atta boy.
Well, you left a good word with him.
Atta boy.
He left a good word. Now, he got carried away a little bit ago. I agreed with everything he said, except we could accept what they worship.
Well,
I'm gonna single down.
They gonna worship something.
Yeah, they are.
If it ain't nothing but themselves.
Amen. They gonna do that.
But anyhow, what we're telling you, don't be an ornery rascal, but rather do consider people. Now you don't have to. You don't compromise. We're not telling you to compromise. If it's a matter of a principle in the Bible, a matter of something God said, there is no compromise. And there is just one way there. But now all of this other stuff, whether you got green carpet or red, or whether they sing 14 songs instead of 7, get along with them. Or, like Brother Pinion said, go find
that's right.
one that's got the
that's
right,
right
number of songs you want. Song and don't be a don't be a don't be a troublemaker and don't be a problem in the church.
Amen.
That's what we're saying. All right. Now, that being said, let's explain it. The church at Rome, and of course Paul's writing to the Romans, the church at Rome was made up both of Jewish and Gentile believers. And of course, Jewish believers and Gentile believers naturally had some differences.
Amen, they did, and, yes.
But how are they going to manage it? How are they going to do that? I think about the word fellowship. And I think about two fellows in the same little old boat. They need to get along. If one's paddling backwards and one's forward, they're going to circle for a long
time.
Get mighty hungry before they get to the bank to eat.
That's a fact.
So you got to pedal in the same direction. So if when you're talking about fellowship, getting along with people, we need to not compromise, but we need to not be ornery either.
Amen. Right. Amen.
So he's writing to the Romans and the differences that they had in the church there, Paul certainly wants them to major on the majors. Yeah. Too many folks major on the minors.
That's a fact. That's
and,
a fact. Yeah.
And you don't do that. We're begging you not to do that. So, Mr. Michael, if you'll start the reading there.
We'll start in Romans chapter 14, and we'll read verses 1 through 4. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up. For God is able to make him stand.
So what do you, Mike, in what you've just read, what do you consider to be the problem there among this church at Rome?
Well, of course, Paul is talking about folks who today we call them vegans, you know, vegetarians, you know, folks that said, well, now look, I just don't believe we can eat meat and still be a Christian, because one of the problems was, of course, that in the past, people would sacrifice meat offerings to their idol gods, you know, not God Jehovah, the God of the Christian faith. And so, but then what they'd do is oftentimes they'd take it out into the marketplace and sell it, you know, and after they had made offerings over it and so forth. And so there was a big row, a big fuss and among church folks about whether or not they ought to eat that meat or whether it's okay or whether it's not okay. And really what God basically says in the scripture, he says, look, you know, that's not nothing to worry about, because, I mean, what does it matter? I mean, that God ain't nothing, just an old piece of wood up there, a piece of gold or whatever it is, and nothing to it. But on the other hand, I mean, God's trying to teach, I think, us that he's not concerned about a lot of little silly, petty things that we get all tore down about. But I see in this verses 1 through 4, I see about 4 or 5 good sermons in there.
Yeah,
if you start out with verse 1, you know, you can talk about, you know, the strong helping the weak and the weak helping the strong. And then in verse 2, he does talk about that. Some say, well, I'm just going to have to be a vegetarian, because if I eat meat, something might be wrong with it, or there may not be, you know, it might not be acceptable. And verse 3, he just basically says, look, don't get tore down with all that junk, and don't start judging one another about it. If a man wants to just eat grass and green vegetables all his life, that's, leave him alone. That's his business. It's perfectly all right. Let him and God settle that. And then in verse 4, he says, because what business do you have judging, big boy? Because, hey, you're not supposed to tell another man's servant what to do or not to do, because that's the servant, that's the master's business to tell him what to do. And Jesus dealt with that a little bit with his apostles. They had a little disputation among themselves about a group of folks that was worshiping over yonder, and they wouldn't do it just exactly the way the apostles had, or with the apostles' authority and so forth. And Jesus basically just told them, said, look, don't you worry about that. I'll deal with that. You go on and do what I told you to do.
He that's for us, then.
That's right. He is for us is for us, and he who is against us is against us. He's not for us, he's against us.
Right.
So Jesus, but God is perfectly capable of dealing with that. Just because you don't like certain things was, you know, okay, fine. It's kind of like Brandon was talking about, and you were talking about a few minutes ago. There's hills that's worth dying on.
Yeah.
There is. Now, if somebody wants to say that Jesus Christ is not Lord, then I'm, you know,
I'm ready to die on that hill.
I'm on that hill. I mean, big time. But now, if he's just trying to decide whether we stand on all the songs or whether we sing all five stanzas or just three, you know, that's not a hill to die on.
That's petty stuff.
That's petty stuff. You can get tangled up in that. And this meat situation was kind of that too. And it's like it is today. You know, what difference does it make whether you eat meat or not? If you want to eat, you know, pork three times a day and clog up your arteries, that's your business. You know, it's not mine. Not for me to tell you what to do.
Well, I learned that lesson. I went in the military, and I've told this, that most of you have heard me tell it over and over again, trying to keep from preaching, running from call to preach. And I discovered that every Friday, them stinking Army and Air Force people ate fish.
They did, yes.
They ate fish.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I couldn't have a pork chop.
That's right. A steak, for goodness sake.
And I fell out with them because they ate fish. Well, of course, I learned later the fish was in respect to a certain religious belief. And though I didn't believe it, and I'd rather had my steak or my... when I went in the military, I don't know if I'd ever had a steak.
Well, we didn't have steak in the military I was part of.
The best thing I had was a pulley bone.
Yeah.
But the other part, we didn't have steaks. And any event, it was something I could complain about, which was wrong. But it was not worth condemning the whole U.S. Army and the whole United States over having fish on Friday.
Well, I did, you know, one time several years ago, had a gentleman come to me, and I mean, he was literally really upset. Because he said, you know, we just standing up too much in the church. I'm the pastor, and he feels like, yeah, I'm the one to take his complaint to. And he said, I'm getting tired of that. I just don't want to come up here and have to stand up all the time and every song. And I said, well, I tell you what, I'm gonna make a deal with you. You just stand up when you want to and sit down when you want to, and everybody else can stand up or not stand up, and everything will be all right. He said, well, okay. And he went on about his business. That's what you do. You know, if you've got a problem, go talk to your pastor or your worship leader or, you know, whoever you need to talk to, but do it in a loving way. And there's a way to rectify it. There's a way to handle it. And you can work it out. There's no big deal.
So as Paul wrote to the Romans, it was a serious matter. And I mean, really, when you think about most of the things we argue about in the church or argue about anywhere, neighbor, are silly things.
Really, they are when you get down to it.
Yeah. Most of the time, they're silly things.
And one of the things, too, that I've discovered, Herschel, if we'll do it, it really works well, is what does Jesus, what's his thoughts?
Yeah.
You know, if we can honestly pray and talk to the Lord about it, I think he'll reveal into our hearts how we really need to react to it. Now, don't go there saying, Jesus, you know, I don't want to stand up on every verse, and that's the way it ought to be. Ain't that the way you feel? No, it's, you know.
Yeah, I see you nodding your head.
Yeah, I see that hand way back in the back. But I'm just, you know, to me, we think about it from God's perspective.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I like to stand and sing because I can breathe better when I stand and sing. Okay, that's fine. Then let me stand. If I want to raise my hand in church and praise, that's fine. I mean, as long as I'm not slapping somebody upside the head with my hand flopping around, let me alone. I'm fine, you know.
Yeah.
And if I don't, while you do it, I've had people, you know, in our church, I've had a singing group one time in particular that I never did invite them back because all they did is they just kept on griping and complaining because the folks in the church wouldn't do what they wanted them to do. And they kept saying, well, it's just dead faith. It's not dead faith. If I'm sitting there with my hands up in the air and I've got my eyes closed and I'm thinking, praising God, that's wonderful. But I might also be sitting there with my head down and my eyes closed and my hands in my pockets.
That's right.
You know, but I'm still praising God. That's the way I worship. So, you know, don't get carried away with all that kind of garbage. That God is not at all worried about whether you're standing up or sitting down or kneeling behind the pew or whatever.
Well, you know, a lot of denominations, and I'm not being critical of them. If that's what they want to do, they can do it. But a lot of denominations believe that if there's not a big commotion going
right.
on,
mm-hmm.
that there's not worship going mm-hmm. on.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that couldn't be any farther from the truth.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Because I can worship God sitting still.
Absolutely.
Silent.
Me too. Absolutely.
And praise Him
yes.
for who He is and what He's done and what He's doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to be critical of anybody and their worship and their style of worship. Mm.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is not necessary.
Absolutely not necessary.
That's majoring on minors again, and there's more important things to deal with than that.
And jump right up in the main splash that's going on in many churches today, and that's contemporary worship or traditional worship. And, you know, people get all hung up on that. Look, if let's say New Salem, and since we're both here, we'll just say New Salem and Moores Bridge, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Moores Bridge wants to worship contemporary music. They want all contemporary music. And that's the route they take. That's mm-hmm. fine. That's fine. New Salem wants to do traditional worship, and mm-hmm. we do that. That's fine, too.
Yes, sir.
And if I like traditional, I'm going to go to New Salem. If I like contemporary, I'll go to Moores Bridge or somewhere where they do that.
Right.
And I'm fine with that. And any pastor ought to be fine with that, in the sense that you do the best you know how to worship God in the way that you feel God has led you to lead that church. Otherwise, you're in trouble, you know. And we've had a lot of problems in our churches with, you know, do we have two different services, or do we have, and you wind up with two separate congregations, and one don't know what the other is doing, and the other one don't know what that one's doing, and they get to fuss with one another. So it causes, Satan loves that. All of that is Satan. He loves that divide and conquer atmosphere. And to me, you know, I like traditional worship. I do. That's just
Amen. What I enjoy.
I like traditional worship. But now listen, I've preached a lot of revivals in churches that are contemporary worship.
Yes, sir. Me too.
And I can preach just as good in one with contemporary worship as I can in traditional. But if I were going on a steady diet of one or the other, then I'm going to be in a church that's more traditional worship. And you might blend a little in there once in a while, but, you know, that's me, and that's my way of worshiping.
Well, that goes for everyone who's listening.
Absolutely,
now,
absolutely.
We need to be tolerant of
right.
individuals who do not do the same way as we do.
That's right. That's right.
And conduct themselves in the same way that we conduct ours.
That's right.
I guess, really, you mentioned it a while ago, I think, Mike. There's been more church splits.
Oh, yeah.
Over the simple fact that we want to do it one way, and we're going to have it our way or the highway.
That's right. That's right.
And when you do that, you're wrong.
You're absolutely wrong. You're dead wrong.
And you need to be accepting of the other guy if it's what God and He want to do, then do it.
That's right. And stay out of the way. You know,
yeah.
if you can't attend that worship service and worship God, if it bothers you that badly, then find you a place where you can worship God and where you can. Because worship is that important. Don't just quit going.
Right.
That's what too many people do. They just quit going, or they'll say, this is my old home church. My granddaddy put the first rock down here under the cornerstone and all that mm-hmm. garbage. Listen, you know, go on and find you somewhere to worship where you can worship God, and quit your griping and belly aching and sitting around there trying to bust up everybody else's fellowship and worship of God. Do what you got to do. If you don't feel that you can stay there and worship God, go somewhere where you can.
The thing that I've adopted over the years, if it is not contrary to the Word of God.
That's the key.
But if it is contrary to the Word of God, you stand there until your belly is blue.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you stay there.
That's right.
But if it's not contrary to the Word of God, then back off.
That's right. Let God lead his own church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's capable of doing it.
He's very capable of doing it.
What we have said so far is we must deal lovingly with those who we consider to be weak in the faith, and maybe they are weak in the faith.
Well, that's what God said.
Yeah. Deal lovingly with them. Mm-hmm. And quit arguing. Don't argue about things like that. We if it's a doctrine that is biblically based, as Brother Pinion just spoke, then it's not worth arguing about. It's worth stating why you believe that way. And then if that's not acceptable, then like you said, why there are other places to worship.
Well, the devil's going to cut him a fit.
He is.
When he starts a fight in the church.
Absolutely.
Because we don't accept the way this is done or that's done or something else is
right.
done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he starts rejoicing when that happens.
Oh, he loves it. He had a wonderful time. Verse 1 to me is very simple. He says the person who's weak in the faith, don't just avoid him and go acting a nut. And you know, still fellowship with him and love him and be a part of his life and worship with him. And he said, but don't do that. If all you're going to do is fuss and fight, you know, doubtful disputations, don't do that so you can argue and fuss all the time. So I think that's a very clear understanding of what God's trying to tell us.
I think it is.
God does not reject people who eat pork chops.
No.
Over those that eat fish.
No, Jesus taught that so plainly while he was here on earth. And you don't have to eat grass and weeds and turnip greens all the time. You can eat meat and still be okay. But if all you want is, if you want to do a vegetarian diet, go ahead. You know, that's fine. It doesn't matter. Let God handle that.
We have a young lady in our church that's vegetarian.
Yeah, yeah.
And just sweet as she can be and pretty as a speckled pup.
Yeah.
And bother me?
Not at all.
Not one bit in this world.
Not in the least.
I admire her for sticking to her guns.
That's right. That's exactly the truth. Absolutely.
So if God does not reject people, then that means he must accept people. We're to accept people too. We're to accept them up to the point of it being unscriptural, it being contrary to what is God's teaching on matters, and so that ought to be the conclusion that all of us draw.
Well, we'll make a quick clarification too on that. And Brandon mentioned it a while ago, but I want to make a real distinction here now. Do not tolerate ungodly things. Don't do that. Do not tolerate ungodly behavior, either in the church or outside the church. You guys dealt with it a while back. We was talking about in one of our previous lessons a guy who wanted to be ordained, who felt like it was just fine to sit and drink booze and sip suds
and not believe the Bible.
That's right. And just kind of just pick and choose what you want to believe and disregard what you don't. Now that's, as we said a while ago, a hill to die on. We're not talking about accepting that.
Now, that is a major, and you ought to major on that major.
That's right. Absolutely. Sure. Absolutely.
But the unusual thing is that sometimes we don't care what they believe about that kind of thing, about who God was or who Jesus is or what he's teaching. It's just we get all upset if it's different from us.
That's it. Not just because it's different from our traditions, but if it's really is against God's word, then we are obligated to God to take a stand.
And I've had people in my church that didn't, you know, they didn't accept the Bible. I couldn't just be say, well, that's all right.
Yeah.
But I didn't say, well, you're gonna die and go to hell right now on this spot. And dying and going to hell will happen if they don't believe what the Lord says about His forgiveness. But on the other hand, I would try rather then alienate them.
Right.
I would try to then, over time, educate them to what the Word of God said, and then let God take care of it. And he's worked out unbelievable problems and differences that way.
I had a preacher friend of mine one time. I think I've used this illustration before, but it worked. Who was a pastor friend, and I don't mind saying it, in Columbus, Mississippi. I won't call his name, but
sure.
I was in a bookstore over in Columbus one day, and he and I was talking, and we were just, he was a pastor, and I'm a pastor, and we were just talking about our churches and how things was going and so forth, and we were both quite young at that time, and he just told me, he said, well, you know, Mike, I've decided that I want to be fresh in my church. I want to be fresh. I want things to be new every Sunday. I said, well, I don't know. You got to be careful with that. And I sort of laughingly, I thought, you know, and he said, oh, I'm serious. He said, I've got to where I rarely, if ever, you know, get up there and just read from the Bible. He said, I'll use life experiences and things that I've seen during the week. And we'll just, you know, sometimes we'll even just sing a worldly song instead of a hymn, just to bring fresh things and new things into the church. And I said, well, now what about, you know, Bible doctrine and you know, doctrinal teaching in the church? No, we've gotten away from all of that. He said, I want it to be new. And I said, listen, let me tell you this. And I called him by name, and all I could think of to say, because I was shocked, I really was. And I just looked at him and I said, son, if it's new, it ain't true. And if it's true, it ain't new. And I said, you need to remember that, and you need to hold on to that. I said, we have one thing alone, and that is that everything we do lead back to that old gospel that is always there, that's always going to be there, because it's the only thing that we are to do in our churches is to lead people to Christ and to worship him and to love him and let him save their soul. He was offended when I said that. And you know, I've never seen him since. And
so be it.
So be it. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, listen, goodness alive. How long you been preaching, Mike?
Oh, 45 years.
Have you changed your message?
No, sir. I preach the same message every Sunday.
And Herschel been longer than that.
Yeah.
And he's the same way. You preached the same message, hadn't you, Herschel?
Yeah.
And so have I.
Absolutely.
And I don't apologize for it.
Not going to.
The only thing I do is I thank them for paying me.
Well, me too. But you know, every time I pick up the Word of God, it's fresh to me. Every time I sit down to study
it,
it is. I could read the same scripture. I set out in my ministry when I first started, I was going to mark the scripture so I don't use that again. You know how foolish that was. But I soon learned that too, by the way. But I could read a scripture today and, you know.
Mean one thing.
The next week, I pick it up in different circumstances of my life and God's talking to me a different way. And it's just as fresh, just as new as if I had never seen it before. And that's amazing to me.
Kind of a story I heard. Kind of humorous story. This preacher went back to his church after some years and preached a revival. And after the service, the lady said to him, and had her Bible out, and said, you know, Brother Jones, you preached that same identical message. She was being critical of him.
When
you were here in June of 1981, I still say. And he says, yes, ma'am, I'm aware that I do, because it's just one major thing.
Right.
But I said, did you know that you wore that same blue dress?
Oh, no.
when I preached this message. And she closed the Bible up and went on.
Well, the illustration that I use in a case like that is, you don't buy a hammer and build one building.
No, that's the truth.
You keep. I mean, you've got hammers, Mike, and
absolutely
tools in your shop that
yes,
you've
sir.
Been using for years.
That's right. That's
and
right.
Wouldn't take gold.
No, sir. Wouldn't take a solid gold.
No,
dollar
monkey.
For, monkey
because
for.
Because you know them and you understand them.
That's right.
And you
That's
can right. use them over and over and over and over again.
That's right.
If a message is worth preaching one time, it's worth preaching the next time.
Amen.
Under Amen. Different circumstances.
That's right.
So to summarize all of this is, whatever we do in the church, in the community, in the home, in the school, wherever you are. Do it lovingly. Do it under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And accept people. You don't always accept their erroneous beliefs. But even if a man is messed up altogether about the Bible, I can accept him because there's a chance maybe I might can show him the way.
Right.
But I don't just reject him. We must not reject people.
Yeah.
We love the sinner and hate the sin.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to do sometimes.
Oh, yes. It is. It gets all mixed up.
It does. But Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with people. We wrestle with principalities and powers that are unseen by us. Powers of darkness, he calls them.
Things present and things to come.
That's right. And we have to be so careful not to do that, not to get ourselves caught up in personalities.
Right.
And power struggle. That's mm-hmm. what happens so many times in the church. But
my mama told me, she said, son, if you live in a glass house, don't throw rocks at your neighbor.
Ain't that the truth? You'll wind up with holes all in your house.
Well, you'll have some cracked windows and walls if you live in a glass. And most of us live in glass houses.
We do. We do.
We don't want to acknowledge it, though.
No. But what is strange, and somebody else may go astray on, if I'm not careful, I'll get just as far off on the other side of the road in that other ditch over there.
That's right. That's absolutely. We have to be careful, too, to remember what God taught us. We are God's ambassadors as Christians, not just as pastors. And I try to teach my folks all the time, whatever you expect, what kind of behavior you expect out of me as their pastor, please expect the same out of yourself.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I may be, and I understand the weight that comes with the job, with the responsibility. I understand that. I sometimes get frustrated with myself because of it. But anyway, we need to be careful the rest of the world is watching us. And Satan will use your misbehavior to cause somebody else not to be saved.
Some of that same advice, Mike, applies to the Sunday school teacher.
It does.
That's listening to us right now.
Absolutely.
And they have to be real cautious.
Very.
About their character, their conduct, their conversation, everything about it, because those class members it's going to come back to
it
them.
Is. Yes, it is.
What he is or she is. Mm-hmm. And they have to be cautious almost to the extent that we do.
That's right. Oh,
yeah. They're dealing with the Word of God just in a different...
In a different setting.
That's right.
And the demons of hell are listening to you and watching you too, mm-hmm. and they will use it. Don't you ever think for a second that they're not going to use it. They will use it, and they'll use it in the worst kind of way. Silly example in a way, but it's the truth. We used to, years ago, when I first started pastoring at New Salem, we only had preaching, you know, on every other Sunday when I first came here. Well, we quickly took care of that. But then on fifth Sunday, you know, no preaching. We just come and have Sunday school and go home. Invariably, if I had been trying to visit somebody, get them to, you know, to come to church or whatever,
that's
when
right,
they going to show up?
Yep.
They going to show up right then for preaching on fifth Sunday. And I'd have to go out and say, oh, I'm so sorry, but we don't have preaching on fifth. So finally, I just told the deacons, I said, guys, look, now, I'm not even going to bring this to a vote. I'm not a dictator. But I said, here's what I'm going to do. And please understand, if you want to leave after Sunday school, I promise you, I will not feel hard at you in any way, shape, or form. If you will promise me that if I stand up there and preach, that you won't feel hard at
Amen.
Me for doing that.
Amen.
Because I said, it's not going to cost any more, you know, for us to just stay there another 30, 45 minutes. And I'll just stay here and preach, and then that way I won't have to be embarrassed that way. And we did have. I had a couple of the deacons that after Sunday school, they'd go home.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't last but a few months
or
whatever. And they soon quickly got over that, and we were fine. But, you know, to me, you find ways to rectify things in the sense of the love of God.
And you find ways to love people rather than hate people.
Absolutely.
Same thing, Mike, basically, in the first church I pastored.
Yeah.
They had four Sundays.
Uh-huh.
Had preaching. But on that fifth Sunday, they didn't have anything.
Nothing, yeah.
I had deacons that I could have gone through.
Oh, yeah.
I just got up there and told them, I said, now listen, I'm going to be here and preach on the fifth Sunday.
There you go.
And if you want to come, that's your business.
There you go. That's right.
If you don't want to come, that's still your business.
That's right. Exactly.
But now I'm going to be here, and I'm going to preach.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Paul summed up what he said. He said it much better than this, but he could have said, look for ways to love people rather than ways not to love people.
That's the way you do it. Let's do it that way.
Look for ways to love people. And not for ways to not love people. Look for ways that you can accept people.
Right.
You won't accept everything, but there are ways. There's some things about them you can't accept. Look for those ways and major on that. And I guarantee you, God will bless you. He'll bless your peace in your heart, give you peace in your heart. And he'll make you love people better than you ever did before in your whole life.
Well, it might take you a while looking to find some ways to love them.
Right, him. Yeah.
But you can.
You can do it. Well, I tell you what, fellas, that's been a great first point. But we've got two more to go. The second one is recognizing our responsibilities to fellow Christians, and we may I already said all that too, but Mike, read that scripture.
All right, verses 13 through 15 there in Romans 14. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if any brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died.
Okay. So our responsibility, God has not called us to judge other
people.
That's
right.
And what do you think, Brother Pinion, what does that mean? How do we judge people?
Well, they can judge me this morning.
Yeah.
Because my wife had some backbones.
Uh-oh, look out.
And she boiled them yesterday, and we eat them a while. And got up this morning then. She had done got the meat off them bones and mixed it in with some gravy.
Eat that now,
I eat that and them cathead biscuits. Man, what are you talking about?
Did you wipe the grease off your chin when
I
you got through?
I showed up and had a good tomato.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh,
I did.
Man.
And you know, y'all judge me.
What'd you do with the leftovers?
They wasn't anything left over.
Zero on those leftovers.
Yeah, the gravy was gone.
Now
there was a biscuit and a half left.
Well, I had a biscuit, but I just didn't have no backbone.
But now you know, we do get all bent out of shape over that because a lot of folks won't eat pork.
That's true. That's true.
And if
that's the way, and it's a health thing or whatever it is, that's okay with me.
Absolutely.
Look more for me. Just
And but anyway, the whole thing boils down to this: if God's in it and God blesses it, then I'll eat it.
And if God accepts it, we got to accept.
Yes, sir.
That's true.
That's it.
You have
to.
Yeah. But I don't have to eat it.
You don't have to eat it.
You know, we actually brought up that good illustration in the beginning of our service a while ago when we talked about the fishing on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't fish on Sunday. My mama raised me up. Now, find me a place in the scripture where it says, thou shalt not fish on Sunday. However, that's something that I believe. Now, I've got a brother-in-law who he'll come to church, he gets out of church Sunday afternoon, he may take his little boy and go fishing. And I said, well, I got a pond. And I said, don't you go fishing in my pond. But anyway, we joke about that a little bit. But the truth of the matter, I can't do that. and feel good about it. I can't do it. Now, he don't criticize me for it. We make jokes about it occasionally, but we love one another. We don't have a problem with that. Sure. Stuff like that is, to me, you know, I don't feel right about fishing on Sunday because I think it's just, you know, not a good thing to do. And I know why Mama taught me all that, but to me, it's the same with a lot of other things. One of the things is wearing a suit and tie to church on Sunday.
I can't accept that.
There you go. See, I mean, we had a brother here that will not. I mean, he won't even go to a Bible school.
Well, he won't even go to the toilet without.
That's what I'm talking about. See, and with me, is I feel like the fellow that invented the tie ought to have been horse whooped, tarred and feathered, and run out of town. So, but I'm going to wear my best clothes. Don't get me wrong. I don't come in shorts and blue jeans and that sort of thing. But my whole point being, you know, but we can still sit here at this table and we can still love the Lord together and love each other.
And really, Mama taught me to wear the very best. And I don't know why I think a suit and tie is, but I do.
Well,
so I do.
That's okay.
But she didn't tell me to reject those that came to church in a pair of blue jeans. And I've had all my
absolutely
ministry.
Absolutely.
I've had, and man, I loved them just as much as if they had on a
$600
suit.
You know it. Well, I have several in my congregation that love to wear overalls.
Yeah.
And some of them will occasionally wear their overalls to church. Yeah. I'm fine with that. No problem. I mean, they're clean.
Show disrespect,
you know,
to
that's
God.
Right. They're okay.
Yeah, I've seen you in overalls.
I have. I have done that.
And we're going to, in the future, I think we've learned something about this coronavirus, and I think we're going to Facebook our Sunday school lessons, and you might catch one or so of them with the overalls on the Facebook.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's but it won't change the.
But
teaching.
It won't change the teaching. No,
it'll
be all.
It's not changed.
But
the truth is not changed in that fashion.
But if you, as a pastor of your church, invited me to come and preach in the pulpit where you are, I would wear a suit and tie.
Because you'd respect.
Out of respect for what you. It, right. And to me, I'm not going to come over and say, well, I'm just going to wear my overall and he can just get over it. No.
That's wrong.
That's a wrong attitude. That's right. That's an ungodly attitude. It honestly is. And so to me, that's the way you work out things. And you don't just get tore down and just because it's. And again, you don't put that stumbling block in the brother's way. You know, that's what Paul was trying to teach the Roman church. He said, you know, I persuaded myself that I can eat anything I want to. He said, there's nothing unclean of itself. If I want to eat some backbones and gravy for breakfast, that's, you know, it's perfectly all right. But if I'm sitting here at the table with you and I know you believe that pork is unclean and so forth, then that's fine. I'm not going to cause us to get in a fuss just because I set that order pork chops.
I'm not going to pick up my pork chop and wave it in
the
face.
No. I'll just not eat pork that day, and you know I'll eat a piece of chicken
for your sake, for your love,
right. Eat a piece of fish or whatever. You know, to me that's a Christ-like attitude. To me, that's where it comes from.
So our responsibility, number one, is not judging other people. Number two, our responsibility is to cause strengthening in relationships both between us and the other person and between them and God, not stumbling.
All right. I hate to do this, but just for a second, I got to back up to not judging because, you know, there's a big promotion. You've probably seen it on TV, you know, mm-hmm. not judging people, you know, and it's really about drugs and alcohol. And that's perfectly fine, well, and good. I'm not going to sit up here and be pious and all that stuff about everything. But now listen, let me tell you something. If God's word says it's wrong to commit adultery, and a person is committing adultery, they're wrong. I didn't judge them in that. God's word does that. God does that. If there's something that is wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter. And God's the only one that can cut that line between right and wrong.
And if you are committing adultery and you come to any one of the three of us as church, and we preach, eventually you're going to hear a message on adultery being
wrong. You will.
We will not leave it off because you're there. We won't deliberately slap you in the face with it either.
No.
You will hear what we think the Word of God says and what some is plain in the Bible. But that's not judging.
No, one of the things that we've dealt with in our ministries, all three of us, and I know all three of us in our churches as pastors have seen people come to our church who are living together unmarried.
Right.
That's one of the issues that's so common in our society today. I will definitely preach that living together unmarried is ungodly. It's wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is wrong in the eyes of God. God said so, not me.
Right.
I didn't make that rule up. That's
right.
God said because of the commitment, the godly commitment that goes with marriage and the covenant of marriage and all of that, you know, and I will preach that, but I'm not going to call your name and tell you to stand up
and
run to the altar.
Make an embarrassment
out of it. I'm not going to do that. I will, because it's my job to tell you the truth.
Right.
And if I can't stand in that pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord, then I'm going to get out of the pulpit, okay?
Amen. Well, I didn't write it. I just report on it.
There you go. That's it. So understanding that about judging other people, that's up to God to do. I leave that judging part to God. It's just for me to report on God's word, what it says. Now, it's our job to strengthen and not cause people to stumble. That's the next point you was headed to, and I apologize.
Right.
But I want to make sure people understood. You're not judging others when God has passed judgment on that sin.
Absolutely.
And so move ahead with that. But, yeah, it's our job to help lead people to right decisions, to make right decisions and to do the right thing. That's our job as Christians, first by example, because it's our job to do the right thing so that they'll see the right thing. And then secondly, it's our job to study God's word and know what God says about certain things.
And to care enough for them. Because if I saw you out there and you were fixing to step on a rattlesnake, I wouldn't say, well, you know, it wouldn't be polite to holler.
To say nothing.
And I might offend them if I'd yell loud as I could.
I would too. Absolutely.
I knew the rattlesnake was there. But and we will do that because we wouldn't love you if we didn't. I stopped my little great grandchild was outside playing in the yard, and I stopped and talked to her a little while. Then if she started toward that road, I wouldn't say, now I just got to be quiet and soft.
Yeah.
I might offend that child.
I don't want to judge her because she's going out the road.
And here comes that big old fast car over the hill. No, I'm going to try the best of my ability to divert her direction. But I won't hate her because she's going toward the road.
No.
And I won't hate you if you are doing something that is wrong. Some of you are listening to us, and the world you think has condemned you, and probably the world has.
Oh, yeah.
But now Christians are not to forgive you. You may have a drug problem. You may have an alcohol problem. You may have any kind of sin problem. But we are not going to judge you. Instead of walking over you and kicking you in the teeth, we're going to try to pick you up and help you.
I had a fellow one time, several years ago. I was younger in the ministry, but still, and you know, it's amazing how God sometimes will just, you know, use you. But I walked into a parts store. It was a parts place, and there was a bunch of men in there talking, and there was a young fellow there that they were obviously laughing and joking, and this young man was bragging about what he's going to do that night. Basically, what was going on before I came through the door. I didn't know what he was talking about. But as I came into the door, he had been telling him he was going out to the juke joint and he had gone drink that night and do all that, you know, bragging about what he's going to do. And there was one old deacon there. He was just saying, you know, he shouldn't and that sort of thing. But as I walked in the door, his first words were, well, here comes a preacher that tells it like it is. This was the boy, the young boy. Here comes a preacher that tells it like it is. I said, preacher, tell us like it is now. Am I going to go to hell for drinking a beer? And just as quick, I didn't even have time to think. You know, God just spoke. No, sir, you're not going to hell for drinking a beer. You ain't going to hell because you drank a beer. You're going to go to hell because you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the other behaviors will take care of themselves. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. I wish I'd have thought of that. He just stood there and looked at me like, wow, where do I go from here?
He
didn't have anywhere to go. Because I didn't judge him, or God didn't.
No.
That was God speaking just as clear as could be.
Sure it was.
So cases like that, you carry with you your behavior and your reputation. Your testimony depends on it. It depends on how you live your life on a day-to-day basis. And then when those occasions arises, I mean totally unexpected as that one was, God's able to just speak right through you, boy, and he can use
you. The Holy Spirit.
It is, the Holy Spirit of God. Just that quick. He was already prepared to speak to the guy. Yeah. He just needed me to be available.
He knew what you were going to do.
He knew exactly. He knew exactly. The boy kind of thought, okay, either one, I was going to do one of two things. Either I was going to tell him it's all right to drink beer, which I basically didn't do, or I was going to judge him, and he's going to be able to jump up and raise a ruckus because I was judging. I didn't judge him. I didn't.
No.
And God is that way. I mean, the beauty of it is that God is that way. He will let you live your life any way you want to live your life. Unfortunately, we make too many bad choices. Yep. So it's dependent on us as Christians. Not just pastors.
Right.
He's the one that gets paid to do it. He's the one that's supposed to do it. Not at all. We're supposed to live our lives in such a way that we can help people make right choices.
Well, you mentioned something there about when he accepted the Lord Jesus. Opinion, tell us, how can these dear people that are listening to us, how can they be forgiven of their sins?
If you're listening and you've never had your sins forgiven, then there's one thing to do. You've got to recognize sin for what it is.
Amen.
It's a violation of the love of God, the law of God, the grace and mercy of God. If it had not been for our sin, Jesus would never have gone to the cross.
Amen. That's
but
right.
But because of our sin and because of your sin, he went to the cross. He died there as a substitute for our sin in order to forgive us, in order to cleanse us, and in order to make us worthy and acceptable vessels for heaven.
Amen. That's right.
And if you're listening now and you've never had that happen in your life, then when you stand in the judgment of God, God's going to say, depart from me, for I never knew you.
It's true.
And the reason he did not know you was because of the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Not because he didn't recognize you while you walked here on earth. Because be assured, he does.
Amen.
He knows the lost man. He knows the saved man. And he judges us based on the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross at Calvary.
Amen.
And if you're listening and you've never accepted him, you need to now.
Amen.
Just confess your sin. Ask him to come into your life and heart. Tell him you'll live for him to the best of your ability from here on. And you'll serve him. And you'll find a church out there somewhere that stands for the Word of God and preaches the Word of God. And start worshiping and serving him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Let's go on then to that last little section there. Our responsibility is to be sure our God-fearing reputation is based on God's priorities, not on our own. Read it, Mike.
Romans 14, verses 16 through 19. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith we one may edify another.
So, of all the things that we've said, we want you to understand, in this accepting, you accept the person, you do not accept their sin or their rejection of Jesus. You try your very best to change that. But God's kingdom is just more than rules and regulations on eating and drinking food or a certain kind of water or whatever you have. To be acceptable to God, we must have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And these things only come from accepting what Brother Pinion said a while ago, the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Thank you for joining us today. I hope that in your relationship with other people, you will find that you can be more acceptable of them, not necessarily of their wrong ways, not necessarily of their violation of God's word. Never accept that. But love them, care for them, be an example to them, show them what real love really is, and God will bless you and bless them, and He'll make a change in their life. Thank you for joining us, as we've already said, and we look forward to you coming and being with us again on the Lord's Day coming up.